Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. We're going to wait a few minutes to see everybody who's logging in. Hey, Andre, we're just waiting a few minutes to get everybody calling in. All right.
In your rate plan. Minutes from this call will be deducted from your select shared calling service. You can hang up now to avoid the reduction in minutes. Thank you.
Welcome to Blog Talk.
All right, sorry, I was having technical issues.
Oh, I wasn't sure if I was muted or not muted. Can anyone hear me?
Yep, now I can hear you.
Are you getting feedback? I'm hearing your feedback.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
All right, is that better?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't hear you repeating that over and over and over and over.
What now?
Before, it was having like a feedback loop, and it would kind of, repeat over and over and over.
Yeah.
It sounds good now. Sound check.
Awesome.
Is go.
Welcome to the show. This is Wednesday, and we're Optimize Our Life, and I am Mary Stanley, your host. And we are talking today about hypnotherapy, what hypnotherapy is, the myth, the truth, the history, and how it can fit into the Christian lifestyle. And my co-host today is a good friend of mine, who's also a certified hypnotherapist, Andre. You can start it off.
Sure. I've got some great topics lined up. Thanks for having me on the show. It's always good to be here. So I guess maybe we could even start with the history of hypnosis a little bit. Now, science has speculated that it started before Egyptian times, and then the Greeks took it in, but what it started as is just a big old chamber, big room where voices would echo and the priests would say things that would echo across in the room and, just things like, you're healing and, your body's feeling better. I don't know in whatever language it was in at the time, but that's 500 BC, so how am I supposed to know? I don't know. But that's where they started, and it was called incubation rooms, incubation chambers. So that's where it started, but it's not a strictly religious thing. Now, if you have a mind and you have a will and want and desire to feel better, do better about something, then hypnosis is actually just a natural state of mind and body. I don't know. So that's a little bit of the history as far as one of the school of thoughts I went through in study and practice. Moving on.
Now,
yeah,
can you hear me? Okay. Do you know where the name of hypnosis came from?
I want to say hypno, from hip, it means sleep. It was like a Greek god of sleep. But
exactly.
James Braid had, he took that name, but then he realized shortly after, oh, shoot, you know, I should have named it that because it means sleep, and hypnosis is not sleep, as we both know. And also the James Braid, Dr. James Braid version of hypnosis is never utilized by anyone because what he did was he had a bottle and he had a patient just look at it until they pretty much got bored of looking at it. And then he was giving the client suggestions or whatnot, and they would carry it out as long as it wasn't something against their moral fiber. So nobody wants to stare at a bottle until they're so bored that they end up slipping into a state of hypnosis. But, sleep.
The reason why hypnosis got a bad name, it's the father that basically designed a version of what we use today.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was France.
Oh, Anton
Mesmer. Yes.
Yep.
And the reason was is he also dabbled in the occult.
Oh.
So it took
the
correlation between who they are, who the person was that developed this and what he did as a hobby, and just turned it bad.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly. That was a big no-no back then. So
the biggest misconception is that, can I make you do something that you would normally do, not do, while you're under hypnosis?
Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
is not
yeah.
possible.
If you are normally not someone who would go and push over a basket of kittens or something, you know, on a regular day-to-day basis, then you're not going to do that in hypnosis. Some of the people, they say they're there. Well, not some of the people. Most of the people that end up relaying what they felt while in hypnosis, whether on stage or in office, is that they're there. They hear everything's going on. I can attest to this myself, too. Everything's going on. They hear it. They know what's going on. They know what they're doing also. They just don't care that they're doing it if it's not against their moral fiber. It's like how a mother wakes up in the middle of the night when they hear their child making a sound. Or, like, if you were to hear a bump in the night or a glass shatter, you've got to wake up and see what's going on. So your mind is like that, too. It's always on alert. That's a good thing.
It is, as long as you are able to turn it off. Or, you know, that's one of the things that I work with is a lot of military members who have dealt with a lot of trauma in the military, in war and stuff like that. And I personally went through this where you're always in an active state of awareness. You always know what's going on around you all the time. You hear a noise. So one thing that hypnosis does is it helps you to be able to turn it off a little bit. You're not such a heightened state of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of unprogram the programming that you're done while you're in boot camp. Otherwise you drive yourself crazy.
I believe
all
that.
All right, so
we have
a lot of callers in today, and we're going to open
good.
It up to anyone who has any questions.
Welcome.
Well, right now, good morning, I'm sorry. This is Queen. Good morning, panel. I just wanted everyone to know that I was in attendance. And right off the bat, this sounds very interesting. I know nothing much about hypnosis, so I'm definitely a listener. I'm on the line, and I'll be diving down any questions I have as we continue. Doing a great job. Hello, everyone. Love you. Okay, I'm on silent now. I'm here, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Kurt.
How are you doing today?
Awesome. How about you?
Awesome. It's awesome. I'm very new to hypnosis, so I'm not going to probably just listen and get some more information on this.
Well, you know, Kurt, done some relaxation hypnosis sessions with you. Why don't you explain how what I did with you and how it made you feel afterwards?
Well, it really made me more at peace with myself and also more relaxed, and it really melted the stress away inside of me. And then look at daily life at a very better place, actually.
Great.
Yeah, I really would like to get certified in hypnosis eventually, and so maybe Mary and I can set something up so she could certify me in hypnosis.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go in the future is for hypnosis, because people want peace in their lives, and that's probably a good way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A day where everybody is able to be a doctor unto themselves, you know. You're going to know you better than anybody.
It's true.
On a deeper level.
I always say everybody has on their personal journeys in life, and sometimes, you know, you get a little speed bump in life, and you know, all of a sudden everything's all chaotic and not at peace, and you have to reach out and find some help to rebalance yourself. I think hypnosis will be ideal for that.
Right on. Right on, Kurt. I'm glad you experienced that yourself, too, especially for Mary. So.
Yeah. But again, I am a certified life coach, and I would definitely like to get certified into hypnosis.
Perfect.
That's not a problem. Me and Andre can help you do that.
Thank you.
Great. Look forward to it.
Might as well get the school going.
Anyone else have any questions or input?
Well, I do have a question. I mean, I'm getting a lot of questions. I haven't even really got started yet, but just one. And then I'll ask them as we go along so that everyone can fairly be in. Question, hypnosis, how did it come about that one realized that this was a type of solution to help someone in a mental condition? How in the science world was it agreed upon that to hypnotize someone that's in trauma, a program, and how did you know that would help someone, if that's just the question here? How did you know hypnosis will help someone in that state of mind?
Wow, that's a really good question. In a broad sense, I mean, it's been used throughout history, and it can't really be pinpointed to one singular person at all. I mean, it's been used through the war, with people going through traumas. For me personally, I saw it on TV, and I'm like, no way. Well, if this is real, why can't it be used for, you know, helping people and stuff like that? And it turns out it is, so hypnotherapy. Maybe Mary's got some more details on that, like pinpointing it towards certain particular people in history.
Well, no, actually, I can avoid that part. I mean, I can avoid that part. And you did kind of, like you said, you said, wow, this, how come it can't help people? That's really the ideal point that I was really looking for. Because like you said, we can never find that. I didn't mean to really word it like that. I really was looking for what you said. You know, what made you like, so you said you were watching something, hypnosis, and you said, well, wow, if that is true, it could literally help somebody mentally suffering with Trump.
Yeah.
It's a fairly new science for trauma and stuff like that. It actually started out in 1955 by the British Medical Association doing experiments with hypnotherapy as a way to reduce pain for childbirth and for surgeries instead of giving them opium and morphine to go for surgery, they tried this. And then they decided after... Huh?
I'm saying for something so serious like surgery, is it recorded that it worked for surgery?
It did.
Oh, yeah.
They started messing with it in the 40s, and it got approved in 1955. And then in 1956, Pope Pius the 12th, approved the healthcare professional diagnosis and treatment. And then right after that, the United States and the American Medical Board approved it for treatment. And it's still experimental and what you can do, but you have to, for it to work, especially for trauma, you need someone who is experienced in trauma. I have worked with a few clients that actually went through other people for hypnosis because they've experienced trauma in their life. And if it's just not done correctly, it can bring up a can of worms and make it work.
What's the downfall to that now? What are we looking to achieve with, does it last once you do it? If I come to you and I say, well, you know, I want to try this, do it wear off like a prescription or, you know, like a pill, or is it something that can, you know, stick with you for a while? Is it something that I don't have to come back no more? I can actually, you know, start in, you know, a beginning?
What I recommend is it depends on what you're going for. You know, some things, it's a one or two shot fix all and you're done with it. Other things, especially trauma, you might need a refresher.
Yeah, it all depends on the person, too.
But I don't recommend. Go ahead, Andre.
Yeah, you said shot. Yeah, you administer it by shot, Andre?
No, I said it all depends on the person also.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all depending on, it's not always just, you know, you can't really just straight say, hey, this many sessions is what you need. I have an assessment for that, though, to kind of see where someone is in their recovery. But, it depends on the person, too, if they can allow themselves to just get themselves in the feeling of it, just let themselves go into the experience. And also the reinforcement. Reinforcement helps make it more permanent for someone.
Okay, I'm listening. I'm here. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, everyone. Question. Hi, this is Victoria. I'm listening as well. I wanted to know, far as the hypnosis goes, what is the What happens if it goes wrong? Like a person is just uncontrollable, and the hypnosis procedure didn't go the way it's supposed to, or if I'm saying that right.
That's a good question.
Is there something you can do to
make safety measures? Well, I'm pretty sure Mary does too. Safety measures first. What we do is make a safety protocol, pretty much integrate all the good loving feelings, nice, calm, relaxing state. Where's your favorite place? You know, what's it like? Build all that experience into what we call an anchor. And that anchor, you can pretty much, like, say a special code word, like calm. And every time you hear the word calm, you're going to come back to the state. So, you know, I've never run across it. Well, I've kind of somewhat ran across this before. It's called an ab reaction, where someone does have what you just mentioned, you know, this kind of too much overstimulation or something like that, where you can just say, you know, calm, and then they come back to the state. And they'll be able to bring back what happened, you know, what's going on with that, so that we can evaluate it, and then we can address it again, you know, a little bit more prepared.
Wow, I actually saw, thank you, I actually saw in the movies, like, you know, like the 007 movies, excuse me, where they use that program to hypnotize people, and sometimes it can erase the person's whole memory, and they forget who they are, they forget who they're kin to, and everything.
The movies, we got to be careful about these movies. Want to do like a whole, Mary, we should do a whole thing, just like watch the movies together and then like do a whole evaluation of these movies. Because
I love that.
Of people right now. So 007, that's on my list now. I'm going to have to check that one out. But there was something in the, was it the 30s? No, it was the 50s, and it was MK Ultra. But they use drugs to also help induce this hypnosis. And that's where they really wipe people's memories and did a lot of creepy, messed up stuff.
The only way MK Ultra will work is it has to be a series of factors. You have drug-induced, deprivation, torture, among a few other things. And you basically get like a Stockholm syndrome.
Yep. You start appreciating them, like, you know, this is my, these are my people. I associate with them more than society and life itself. Like that Beauty and the Beast situation, you know, she was kidnapped for a long time, and then she eventually loved the Beast. And stopped home.
Now, what I do with, because I work with a lot of trauma victims, a lot of abuse, trafficked, a lot of PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I deal with these clients, I do a package. And with trauma, I don't ever recommend just hypnotherapy. I do hypnotherapy with coaching to help you go through what you come through. But I always, we use like pictures, a picture book as a word association. When you're in the state, and all this state is, it's basically like meditation. And to get you guys to understand a little bit better, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through, and if you don't want to do this, it's fully up to you. But it's a form of meditation, but it's also hypnotherapy. It's just to relax.
I'm down.
So, just to let you know, this form of hypnosis is purely for relaxation. What I'm going to do is conduct a little relaxation exercise. This is something that you can do at home if you feel stressed or a little under pressure, or simply hang on one quick second. All right. Sorry about the noise. So I want you to put your hands upside down. So the palms are facing up. Now that's an unrelaxed position. Hang on.
Yeah.
All right. So now what I want you to do is flip your hands the other way. Now that you feel more comfortable, more relaxed. So it's just relaxation, and it's really just going to make you feel relaxed. So just out of curiosity, how are you feeling? And I want you to say this to yourself. How are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, being 1 stressed and 10 completely relaxed? So now let's do that now. And I would like you to put your hands in a relaxed position. And I want you to lift your toes a little bit up. Lift your head up a little bit and look at an imaginary spot or a real spot on the ceiling. Take a deep breath in and hold it. And as you breathe out, I'd like you to allow your eyes to close. Take another deep breath in and hold it. This time, as you breathe out, I'd like you to let your heavy head fall forward on your chest like a heavy cannonball. Now just breathe in. And as you breathe out, let those shoulders relax out and sag right down. Take another breath in, and as you breathe out, I want you to let your hands relax and just relax your body. Breathe in, and as you breathe out, let those feet go flat into a comfortable position. One more time, breathe in. And as you breathe out this time, imagine or visualize that you have no bones in the top half of your body. Imagine all your bones temporarily turning to jelly. No backbone, no spine. Just breathe out and let it all just relax. In a moment, I'm going to count from 10 to 1. And as I count from 10 to 1, you are going to feel even more and more relaxed. You're not going to fall asleep. You won't lose consciousness. You'll be able to always hear my voice, and you may even hear a few little background noises and things going on. 10, you're comfortable and relaxed. 10, you're comfortable and relaxed. 9, every part of your body from the tips of your fingers to the very tips of your toes will become limp, loose, and relaxed. 8, every muscle, every nerve, and fiber becoming deeply relaxed. Feeling comfortable and relaxed. 6, feeling normally now, feeling absolutely wonderful. Breathing normally. 5, I want you to imagine a very tall building with all the lights on. And what you're going to do is imagine those lights being turned off one by one. And now those lights are being turned off one by one. Now, as those lights are being turned off, one by one, say to yourself, I'm feeling even more and more relaxed. So, 7, going off now. 5, I want you to imagine your hands and legs feeling like lead. So very, very tired and sleepy. Relaxed. So relaxed from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. 5. No tension, no stress. And as those lights are going out in the tall building, 3, 2, and 1, beautifully relaxed. Now I want you to become very conscious of the feeling in your right hand and arm. I'd like you to use your creative imagination and concentration, and I'd like you to imagine that there's a piece of string tied to your wrist with a lighter-than-air balloon or a bunch of balloons tied to your wrist. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 3, and when I get to 3, you'll find that your right arm will feel lighter. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Lighter, your arm is starting to feel lighter than air. Lighter, lighter, lighter than air. It's going to start floating up into the clouds, getting lighter, lighter than air. And lighter than air, being pulled slowly up into the air and slowly up into the sky. Slowly up into the atmosphere and up into the... Because it's feeling lighter and lighter, lighter and lighter, as if it has a mind of its own, and perfect. You can put your arm down. Now I'm going to count 3, 2, 1, and when I get count 3, 2, 1, your eyes will open. You'll feel normal. You'll feel absolutely fine and wonderful, like after a sleep. You will open your eyes with a big smile on your face. 3, 2, 1, eyes open. There we go. Now close your eyes down and let your body do whatever is natural. And okay, in a moment, I'll emerge you and I'll count up from 1 to 5. At the count of 5 and not before, let those eyes open, become fully alert, totally refreshed, feeling wonderful in every way. And opening your eyes, and only when I reach the last number and only as quickly as you accept the power of each suggestion you have been given. 1. Start to notice your surroundings, but still very relaxed. 2. You begin to notice a peaceful calmness with every breath out as you take. 3. Slowly and easily and gently feel yourself coming back up to your full awareness. 4. Still relaxed and calm, but notice your eyes under your eyelids clearing, like they're being bathed in a sparkling cool mountain stream. And now, on the next count, eyes fully open, alert, feeling fantastic in every way. Get ready now. 5. Now open those eyes and notice how good you feel.
Oh, I want to stay in. Very
you
good.
Can put yourself in later. So, anyone have any comments?
I do. That was well executed. And I like the lights off. Like, I don't know if anyone else feels that, but when I imagine just running down a hallway or through a building, click, clack, click, 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 you know, I can feel different parts of my body and my mind shutting off just for a moment. And the balloon one, that's, yeah, I do that one too. You know, I put a heavy weight on the other hand, and that really, like, emphasis on the lifting arm. I remind people of that movie Up with all the balloons.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I say, like, how there's iron pumping through your whole body anyhow. You know, just imagine a big electromagnet at a construction site. And
I use magnets too as an option.
Huh?
I use magnets, and I also use something that's called a lemon, and I get you to visualize what a lemon tastes like.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Anyone else have any comments?
No, I'm listening. I don't have comments. I'm spiritual and you know, I'm raised Blackfoot and Cherokee. I was not raised with the I didn't come through a teaching of African type of cultures of descent. My great-grandmother, being a 4 feet one, she was just gorgeous, looked like a little doll baby, Blackfoot Indian, and midwife and these things, and mother in the field as a slave. We were without television. I'm born in 1962. So a lot of the hypnosis type of teachings that's going on, you know, it kind of bucks against a little bit of my spirituality. But then at the same time, it makes me appreciate what my great-grandmother instilled in us about, you know, they call it hypnosis. I call it talking to God. I call it quiet. My father called it quiet moments. One might say, you know, one with a degree such as yourselves and experience in studying this, I'm not trying to disrespect anyone's education on this and, experience and, you know, your testimonies to your truth. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just, for me, hypnosis is just a different name in my life. Like, I don't do hypnosis. Like, I can look at you and I can almost tell you a lot of things. And sometimes it irritates me. Sometimes I just come in my room because I tell Victoria, I said, you know, some things I just don't want to see in here. So that don't come from hypnosis. Where one might need hypnosis, there's a lot of mindsets out there needs to know that all power come from that very vessel you praise. I don't like entities on the side of God, personally. I don't like them. My son was born without an esophagus. We created him one, closed up his feeding tube, closed the hole that was in his neck, all the food pouring out of it. He's so gorgeous today, walk around educated, just a beautiful dark-skinned brother. That didn't come from hypnosis. You know, that came from me praying and asking the creator of all things. When we take subjects and we want to go outside of that, which I find scientists, inventors, and a lot of people, you know, Christianized, Muslimized, whatever. I love everyone, and I don't judge people. I came up in the church as well. Sometimes I used to think the pastor was trying to hypnotize us. But I'm not putting that down. I do believe that that is, I can feel that, I believe that that did help a lot of military men. My father was served in Vietnam, lost a leg, and a lot of things went on in his life due to his fighting in the war. But spiritually, Mary and Andrew, I do back this. I never thought I would, but I do, because everything in me is telling me that people that suffer trauma that I would never know because I didn't go through that, I didn't go what they went through to receive it, and I really feel that what you're doing really do help them, and it should be administered. And, you know, I will talk to more vets myself, and because this is new to me, and I'm very interested, and but for me, no one hypnotized me. I would never sit in front of no one to hypnotize me. I don't play those games. But I do believe that it will and do help those that has been programmed on a level other than just being human. So with that said, I'll pass the mic. Thank you. I'm continuing listening. I'm so happy I made it, because I'll be thinking about this all day and finding out exactly, and continue talking to Mary so that I can implement this to a standard that,
yep,
for me, needs not to feel like I'm in control of what you need. I don't want that feeling, but I do want to get with you. I do want to learn more, and I'm listening. Thank you for letting me speak.
The misconception is back in 1847, the Catholic Church actually has issued statements approving the use of hypnosis. As they have learned more and debunked the myths and the misconceptions of fortune telling and the invocation of the devil, or, you know, people losing control of their mind through just traditional hypnosis. You know, with the military, there's a good documentary on Discovery Plus. I will let you know next week. I don't remember what it is offhand, but it talks about the experiments the military did back during the Vietnam, prior to the Vietnam War and during the Vietnam War, with soldiers using drugs to induce hypnosis to basically create super soldiers.
Mothurian candidate. Yeah, that's a whole new subject there.
Yeah, it is. And it makes me wonder, too. You know, I wanted to go into the Air Force. My father, my stepfather raised me. He also was in the Air Force. Stephen Donald did 6 years in the Air Force. He had 33 men. He create machine guns. My godson created chips for machine guns. And, you know, these people are different. They're kind of different, you know, when I think about it. And I deal with a lot of people came out of prison, like even my oldest son, his experience with the jail system. I'm so sorry. I apologize to the show. Let me gain more control. I got a little bit too comfortable, and let me apologize. I won't let that happen again. And they go through things, and he might, you know, I'm thinking, like, before I judge this or say what's not, you know, for me or whatever, I'm not going to do that. I'm open-minded right now, and I'm thinking, you know, like, you know, these people that come out of these children and men and stuff and women that come out of these jailhouses, you know, they just as much as mentally disturbed as the ones in the field, if not, you know, who's to say, if not even more. So, Mary, I'm telling you, I think I'm on a really good thing with you right here. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to judge it at all. I'm going to cease myself, and everything is not for everyone, but I cannot exclude the fact that this may be just something for me. You already know what level it is for you. I'm learning, but for me, and you know, when I talk to people and when I'm trying to guide them, I need to make sure that truth is always, you know, in my conversation, in my handout extended to people. So I'm loving this, you guys. Don't let me talk too much, please. I need to learn more and more and more. So let me let you guys talk, and I'm going to mute my line. Thank you.
I love your open mind. That's Victoria. Glad
you know, when I was going through my training, we practiced on each other, and I used to get debilitating, and my husband got off, but he could have told you the same thing. I used to get debilitating migraines to where I couldn't function. And the only way to fix it was throwing up or sleeping for a couple of days, just laying there in just cold ice packs and stuff like that. And when I had my buddy do a script for me and to get rid of my migraines, I get headaches now, but I haven't had a severe migraine to where I couldn't function in going on 2 years now.
And Mary, if you're not on medication, you know, headaches, those migraines, in some of my studies, I'm not a doctor. I don't have a certificate in these things, but, you know, experience maybe or witnesses. But, you know, some of my teachings or some of my learnings, if you will, not teachings, but learning, came from, like, a lot of people that experience bad migraine headaches, it could be from medications you might be taking or the diet. People might say, oh, no, I eat healthy, but what you're eating as health may not be what you need for healthiness. I may need corn. You may need tomatoes. You can't say because you eat celery, you're eating healthy, because celery might not agree with something in your brain, even though it's something good that helps somebody else's brain. I've learned that in my studies. I really think that migraines come from what you're lacking and not what you probably need. That's what it is.
Some people it is. I have what is called TMJ, tongue, mouth, and jaw disorder. So my jaw doesn't always work properly, and it causes tension in the muscles in your jaw, which causes migraines. And I didn't get it fixed when I was young. And so now the only fix would be to break my jaw and realign everything back up.
Mm-hmm.
I had two little kids.
And no way.
They would destroy me if
still,
I couldn't
Mary,
talk for, you know, 6 months.
Yes, but Mary, look, I'm going to go off grid when we hang up and see a little later and see if I can stump up, because I don't care what we can mention, broke jaw, whatever, all these names for it. I personally, for now, not saying that I'm growing, but for now, I believe that every issue from broken bones to sore bones, from raggedy skin to good skin, I don't care what we can name, from good eyes 2020 to bad eyes 2040, I don't care. There is a fool, because we can't count God out. See, for me, when conversation leads like that, then what about him? He does all things. We got to hold him to everything, though. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
And that he tells me, he says, you know, my children don't do, you only come to me for some things. And then you come to me for a level of things. Come to, like for me, I watch people heal. I don't do it. I can see it. I have, my father stopped breathing. This is not a show about me. I just want to testify. My father stopped breathing. All I did was went in a corner. And with my faith, I'm not religious. I just was honest. Father, I love my daddy. What are we going to do without him? Please don't take him. My daddy rose up. I don't know what to say. But I can say, I don't care. And he had sickle cell anemia. And he lived way past any type of anything. So the last thing I just want to say, Andrew, is that, you know, I think there's no limit, Andrea, sorry. There's no limit to faith. There's no limit.
No.
Okay, take the mic.
There are none. Honestly, yeah, I'm going to say ever since this out loud, but there have been times where I didn't know what to do with the client, but the answers just came, and everything worked out beautifully. And all I got is to thank God for that. Thank whatever force spoke to me to say what I needed to say to help these people through these things that you can't fake in the medical books. Being relieved of. So that's my little bit on testimony for that. We are vessels.
You know, the one thing is, and I'm thankful for, is that when I got hurt and I couldn't do what I was doing in the Army, I used to do search and rescue aviation. I was a paramedic in the helicopters. And then from there, I went and trained as a nutritionist. And it opened a whole new world for me, because the sergeant that was doing the training turned around and we studied food and how food can cure just about everything. That medicine wasn't the first resort in life. It was the last resort in life. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've still, to this day, I study it, but you know,
come on, let's talk about this confirmation now. I'm not a doctor. And your life sounds so exciting. Helicopter riding around, saving people. Oh, very, so much. Not fun, but, you know, good feeling. You know, let's talk about it. See,
you know,
everything is plant-based. Everything is plant-based. Everything. And everything should be plant-based. I'm not a plant-based creator, but I believe in it because it is. God made those rain forces and all these things. He did not just, everything's for a reason. And man has trampled in and put his little 2 cents hypnosis stuff in and got everybody cuckoo for cocoa puffs. But we're going to straighten all this out little by little, and we should, as a human race, go back to the very source that takes care of us, and that's Mother Nature. We left our mother and our daddy. I don't understand it. Let's get back to nature. Let nature dictate to us, and not a doctor. They're not going to like me today, and I don't care. My great-grandmother, she had cancer throughout her body. They took off one of her breasts. This was back in days where technology and medicine was quite as good as it is now, strong as it is now. And
that's kind of cutting
you off.
I believe hypnosis is nature.
See, and that's it.
You do it right.
I believe hypnosis is a tool. It's not a cure. It's not a fix-all. It is a tool in the tool belt to help people see situations, get clarity in what they're looking for, get the answers they're looking for.
The tool. Nothing more.
it's not a one fix fix all. And that's why I always do coaching along with hypnotherapy. We use the hypnotherapy to get you the right answers, and it takes, it cuts the time down that you need in coaching or in therapy or whatever it is in half. Because you're getting the answers you need right away. And then now you got the answers, you use the coaching and other things to deal with what happened and get with the answers.
It's like super meditation. It puts your mind in the state where it can go ahead and receive the answers it needs to get. You know, no one pushes anyone to be a certain way or anything like that. It's not like, hey, you're going to heal. No, it's all on you. You're really going to just put yourself in the state of mind that it takes. Because you put your mind in the state of mind in between waking up and going to sleep, yes, you can kick yourself wide awake. Yes, you can just go ahead and allow yourself to go into a nice, relaxed sleep. But ultimately, that's where you're going to be able to connect with the self that's, you know, able to receive. That's the best way I can put it, really.
Right.
There's a bunch of technical terms and all that, but nobody needs it, really.
Right. You know, I had a client, for instance, that she had severe anxiety. She couldn't figure out why. She had self-esteem issues and anxiety, and she never felt like she fit in. And she could never figure it out. She had a really great life growing up. And it turned out that when we did the hypnotherapy, it went all the way back to when she was still in the womb. And her parents were very young when they had her. And they fought a lot at that first, during the pregnancy, about what to do with this baby. They were 16 and 17. They weren't sure if they wanted to keep it. They weren't sure if they wanted to adopt it. They didn't know what they wanted to do. And because of the fighting that they constantly did, that is what caused her anxiety.
Stress,
and once she figured that out.
Victoria, I'm so sorry. I thought I was coming in. I didn't mean to cut that off. But when you finish, would you, if Victoria don't mind sharing some of her ways of anxiety, now you're hitting home. You're hitting home now. And my baby, Victoria is my niece. And I helped assist raise her to this fine woman she is. And yet she came from a family that, well, not family, her mother. Just, you know, some parents and daughters or sons and daughters, you know, they bump heads, we bump heads. But she suffered from anxiety. So we're on a good subject. Victoria, you agree, honey? This is a good subject for her. So I really want to listen.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay.
May I speak? Yeah, as far as the anxiety goes, I learned that most of my anxiety came. Could they real quick, please? Most of my anxiety came from just hearing like yelling all the time, or like you said, trauma.
Hello?
Yeah, most of it came from, like, you know, like the trauma Mary was speaking about, the screaming, the hollering, and just the loudness and the aggression on top
right
of, there. You know, different circumstances that happens and occurs in life. When you lose someone or stuff like that, or when you see people fighting that you love, or you see people that you love hurting one another, anxiety comes from not, you know, being able to trust anybody. And for me, it was hard for me to trust people because of my because of the aggression and violence and, you know, unsurety and doubt that comes in. And that's why, like when the Queen had mentioned, you know, spirituality is very important, because if it wasn't for my grandmom who instilled God as my first, last, and bestest friend, I would be a mess, you know. But once she transitioned, I went to live with my mother, and it was just, you know, it wasn't like that spiritual, it wasn't like that grounded spiritual thing with God for me when I came into our house. It was just like fast and no patience, a lot of doubt that was placed in me. So I had anxiety about the world. I had anxiety about people. I didn't trust people. I didn't want to be close to people. I isolated myself for a very long time, you know, because of it. But again, as I got older and God started sending his angels into my life and I got reconnected with my auntie again, it was so much better for me because now I had someone who looks at life from a different angle and not from just the negative all the time. It was like, you know, oh, it went like that, but oh, guess what? It's going to be like this, you know, because it doesn't rain always. The sun do come out and it shines and it will shine.
Rainbow.
So not to go into it so much, but because I'm not religious either, but I do know that most of illnesses or diseases comes from the lack of communicating to the creator or having, you know, a personal relationship with them to the creator of everything, you know. It's not religious. People put in a religion to, like, you know, cause the division amongst us. But at the end
Whatever
of the day, we all have to have that foundation strongly with him because he the one who designed the good and the bad. So, you know, and so that's what happened for me. So my final thing to say is I've came out of that, and I thank him for that because I left the place where it was put in me, if that makes any sense. I went somewhere else where all the time I can laugh, all the time I can think, all the time I can pray, all the time I can help someone without being abused or, you know what I'm saying, mentally, physically, whatever. So thank you for allowing me to come in. Thank you.
I can feel and hear your voice, like, you know, at the end there. That's great.
We are almost on time for today.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk with Queenie and about transitioning out of life into different situations, such as military, prison, jail, addiction. And then the week after that, we're going to do a salute in honor to 9/11 and the victims, family, and military personnel. On August 15th, we are going to talk about anxiety and how hypnotherapy and other tools and regulation techniques, mind shift, set shift, and other issues can help deal with anxiety. If you have more questions, feel free to give me a call, 507-338-3725, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions. And Andre, if you want, you can give out your number. And
yes, my number is 715-560-5325. That's my personal number because I don't remember my business number right now. So glad everybody.
The last four.
The last four. Okay, I'll say it again. 715-560-5325.
And now the last two numbers.
I got hey, Katie,
five,
I'll text you. I will text you his number.
Yes,
thank you. Okay.
And then
nice
I will also put
you,
it on the information for this radio show.
Okay.
If that's okay with you, Andre.
Oh, for sure. Get it out there. I love to talk to you.
Hi, Kirk. We hear you. We love you, Kirk. God bless you. We praying for you, Kirk. You the man.
Kirk.
I hear you, Kirk. I love you. Everything is good. Everything is good.
Have a good day, everybody. See you next week.
You too, Mary. We'll talk soon now. You know you will. Okay.
And anyone with questions, feel free to call one of us.
All right, thank you.
Excellent.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.